Good morning, Watermark Frisco. It's great to be together. My name's Connor Baxter. I serve here as the campus pastor, and I had the privilege this week of using a lot of my time to serve other folks who serve in ways that I do. A lot of folks who use a lot of their time serving the body of Christ. We hosted at Watermark this week a church leaders conference where God in his kindness allowed us to be a source of encouragement to just the universal church, and I will tell you, to use the universal church to be a source of encouragement for us. And in the midst of all that, I bumped into a friend who used to be on staff here, and I was reminded of one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard. There was a few years ago, a Watermark couple who was dating and moved into engagement and was moving towards marriage. And they had slotted a day and picked a day based on all the dynamics that go into picking the day to get married. If you've been in that season or married off kids, you know you've got to find a venue. You've got to find something that seats the amount of people you want to see. You got to figure out how that works with both the rehearsal and the reception. And there's a ton that goes into it. And you finally find the day that it is you want to get married and where you want to get married. And so they had picked that time and that day, and they're moving towards it. And then God in his sovereignty allowed something to happen the morning of this couple's wedding day that nobody would choose. God in his sovereignty decided that a day of rejoicing and joy and celebration would have a day also be remembered as a day of mourning and great pain. The morning of this couple's wedding, the bride-to-be's father passed away. So she woke up the day that she was moving towards a covenant and becoming one with a man to her father passing away. And my buddy was, a lot of my friends were part of the story, and my buddy specifically was the guy who was had the privilege of officiating that wedding and just spoke with that gal who was supposed to put on white that evening but was trying to find out which black outfit to wear in the morning and just said, hey, should we move off what we're going to do this evening to appropriately, be in the moment that is this morning with the passing of your dad and the mourning that's here and the sadness. And to everybody's amazement, to this gal's faith, she said no. One, that wouldn't honor what I think my dad would want. And two, God is sovereign. He's in control of what is going on today. And so we will both mourn right now, and then we'll move on to rejoicing. And then this will kick in a season of mourning in different ways that will come. And then years of celebration of marriage on this day. And God wanted this day to be that day, one of great sadness and great joy. And today, in a very different way than that, that is kind of the moment we are in as Watermark and Watermark Frisco. We are in a season, if you don't know, of sadness because two of the men we have followed and loved and that God has allowed to be vessels that have been useful to the church stepped down and resigned from their service of leadership. So last week, if you weren't here, you're new, or you're kind of catching up, two of our elders, one of which is our founding and senior pastor, Todd, resigned or communicated that they had stepped away. And there's all kinds of ways the world wants to grab that. I would encourage you to go to watermark.org/update and listen. This is not a death, first off. Nobody died. This is not moral sin or sin that is disqualifying from leadership. Both men are still here serving. They're on the same team now as Elder Emeritus, and they are one with one another in the midst of having disagreements about significant leadership decisions. But in the midst of all that, there's just a sadness. If you've been around here for any amount of time, when the folks God has allowed you to run with aren't who you're going to run with in the same way, that's just sad, okay? So we're kind of in that moment. And today, we have some exciting things to talk about. And so I'm just acknowledging there is more conversations for some of us to have around that whole moment. But I'm kind of here to perform a wedding ceremony, if you will. There is some amazing things God has been doing, and in his sovereignty allowed today and really this week and the weeks ahead of us to be the time he wanted us to have a moment of celebration and prayerfully joy while knowing there were some other things going on at our church that would just put sadness in the room. And so we are going to navigate through this together. But I'm telling you, this is going, last week was a lot for a lot of us. And this week's going to be a lot, just with prayerfully, a lot of excitement and joy. So buckle in. We are going to talk about today the God of all time. We're not going to necessarily be studying a specific text. We're going to be studying the God of the text and what he is wanting and doing with you, and how he is moving us towards what I think is the next step for us as a campus. Today is really going to be one of the most significant days of our time together. And it's really just the beginning of probably a 30-day conversation. So I'm going to do my best. If my job was in a week to take folks across all of America and show them all of the amazing things from the coast to the mountains to the cities, today is going to be like trying to be your tour guide in a week of all of the country and giving you a flyby overview of what God's doing. And then we are going to spend this next season, really the whole month of May, diving back into some more of the specifics and details, okay? So I'm going to do the best I can to articulate one of the most glorious things I've seen God do while giving you the information we think is helpful while knowing there's a lot of other things going on. So I appreciate the grace in advance because I'm sure I won't be able to do it as best as some. But let me start with this verse, Psalm 126:3. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. And I would say that verse has been true. There is so many amazing things that God has been doing in our midst. I mean, if I could just play you the recording of the weeks we've had people come up here and grab a mic in between songs and just say, this is where God has used this campus, you who are in the room, to change my life, we would just repeat that verse over and over again, that God has been doing amazing things. I just told you this past week, I spent time with 1,500 church leaders in a lot of conversations and a lot of meetings and trying to be some source of encouragement and hearing what people were going through. And I will tell you, God's been doing amazing things across the country and the globe. But what I think we're about to enter into is truly the most magnificent thing I've heard God doing right now with a group of people. And that's not an exaggeration. And so Matthew 28:18-20. If there's a text for this morning, here it is. And Jesus came to him and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he has universal authority because he's about to give a universal command. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We say as a group of people following Jesus that this is what we're trying to do. This for us is the measure of success. This at the end of the day is what determines what we do next. And there is a radical commitment to never move off this text, only to move deeper in it. And anything we can do to further the gospel and to further people coming to Christ, no matter what the cost is to us, we are willing to do it. If we are convinced, it will help us be more effective at what Jesus says. If you're going to follow me, go do this. I'm going to save you, not to just bless you, but I'm going to save you so you can be a part of saving others. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing to others. And when he calls a man to himself, he calls him to come and die. He says, if you want to follow me, put aside your selfish ambitions, shoulder your cross, follow me. It is a life of sacrifice for others. And don't forget that trials are a joy, that this world is a mist, and that your little moment in history, which it goes by quick, determines your eternity. And there will both be salvation for those who put their faith in me, and there will be rewards for those who are already saved but have used what I have given them and stewarded it for the gospel. There will be rewards. And so listen up. Our campus started because a group of members, not a big personality, not a prolific leader with a great vision, but a group of members who lived in Frisco and were plugged in at Watermark, and we were trying to live out this mission, and just said, I can't get people to drive with me 20 or 30 minutes who don't know Jesus to come hear about Jesus. They're not interested in paying the toll road to come hear about somebody they're not convinced of. It's not worth $8 to them. We need to bring a living room up here and allow us an opportunity to engage with our friends so they can just come and see. If we can remove a hindrance for the sake of others, let's remove the hindrance. And we spent time with those people. If you hear us talk about this season of the First Timothy study, which really happened 3 years ago, saying, you don't want to do this. You don't want to start a campus. It's not going to make your life easier. You're going to do the ministry. You're going to do the work. You're all officially bivocational. You're going to go make tents like Paul, and then you're going to serve. If you think this is what God would have you do, it didn't decrease sacrifice. It increased it. And many of my friends are in the room today, and if you're here, you've already bumped into 20 of them, and you don't even know it. But that idea, this verse, moved us to start a campus. And this same verse is why we say at Watermark, all things equal, an independent local church is better than a healthy campus. We don't think campuses are sin, but we don't think they're best. And so if you've been paying attention, we've had two campuses in the past year, year and a half, Watermark Fort Worth, spin off and become an independent local church, debt-free with full staff and facilities and nothing but runway in front of them for the gospel. If you haven't been around very long, we had a Plano campus who now is City Bridge Community Church, who launched a few months ago and is doing well and is debt-free and has a staff that is engaged and has local leadership and ministries that are running because they believe the end of Matthew 28, which is not behold, Watermark goes with you. It is behold, I am with you. Christ is with you. And today, that is the discussion. I am going to tell you about why the leadership of this campus and both Watermark think it's time for us to take a step towards being an independent local church, not Watermark, but running here as an independent church. Stay with me. First, couple of reasons, just philosophically, why we believe a local church is best. One, when you pick up your Bible, all you see is local church. It is God's design. It is his plan. He says, I want a group of people who is radically dedicated to me that serves underneath godly leadership, who works and operates together as one for the sake of the gospel, laying aside their differences and opinions and preferences, standing firm on convictions and essentials, and loving the city that I've put them in. Now, if there's ways to supplement that and grow that, great. We've done that through campuses. But at the end of the day, you see a local church being what God is moving you towards always. And so that would be the start. It's what you read in your Bible. We don't think our idea of a campus trumps God's idea of a local independent church. Meanwhile, we would stop short of saying that campuses are a sin or they're not a healthy strategy to get there. Second, and perhaps underneath that bullet, the most important to me is time. Time is the most precious commodity. It is the thing we all have the same amount of. You can't get it back. And we spend a lot of time, me personally, our staff team, key leaders here, staying one with Watermark because we are one church. That looks like every week driving out of Frisco down to Dallas for me to stay connected to leadership there. That looks like our staff every other week driving down. That looks like phone calls and emails that have to do with all Watermark things, not necessarily just Frisco specific things. Let me give you a verse that's a good handhold. That was really the verse that moved my wife and I to move. When we talked about this whole campus thing, there was no option but to leave where we had just bought a house 6 months earlier and move to Frisco, because Psalm 37:3 says this, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Other translations say cultivate faithfulness. To be one, to be a campus right now, it requires a lot of people, a lot of time, leaving the land that we dwell in to stay connected. Now, that's a great thing if staying connected means furthering equipping and furthering training and growing in maturity and leadership and the economies of scale that comes with doing somebody or doing something with someone that is a larger size that can produce better content quicker and all of those things. But the moment maturity and leadership and equipping is there, that's where we start to go, hey, it might be time to launch. You know, I think of the third one that kind of bleeds into is just maturity. The part of the reason we think of our campuses and what we are now entering into the conversation of together, becoming an independent local church, something new, not a campus, not attached to Watermark, is maturity. It forces those who have had a few layers removed of leadership, when you wipe out, if you will, the top layer of elders and leadership, everybody else then takes on more leadership underneath that. When you, in effect, remove the one or the top layer, you increase something in the whole. If you've ever launched a kid out of your house at 18, you know what I'm talking about. When a kid leaves at 18, I'm older than 18 if you're new here, but I did this once. So when you leave at 18, taking on, pending how your parents raised you, your gas and your insurance and your phone bill, and you've got to cook food for yourself for maybe the first time, and your food's not going to be as good as your parents' food. You got to do your own laundry and learn how to do that. It may take you a season, but just because you can't make the food in the same way that your parents could, or that your income is not at the level that your parents were, it doesn't mean that an 18-year-old should stay home. It's time. You've got the bones and the necessities, and you're going to grow, because at the end of the day, what God's going to do in you and as you mature and as you grow up into an adult and a citizen that's contributing and creating flourishing and hopefully starting your own family and multiplying that out, that is better. Even though your food may taste not as seasoned, your clothes may stink a little more, and your income's going to be lower. And there's some parallels to that in terms of just a campus stepping into this idea of a church. I think about the disciples, you know, and how the resurrection redirected and reoriented their life. They did life together for 3 years, which in kind of an interesting way is the timing we're at as a campus, about 3 years. And they did a lot of ministry together. They would have loved each other. I'm sure they shared all kinds of foxhole stories together, and we know some of them from God's word, but there would have been a unity that happened by doing ministry together. That is there between us and the Dallas campus. But there is a sense, when they bumped into the resurrected Savior, and you roll in from Matthew 28 into Acts 1, and he goes, hey, now that the Spirit, I've ascended so the Spirit may descend, and the Spirit of God is going to dwell in man, and I'm going to give you power. And you are going to go out to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and you're going to take the gospel with you, and you're going to see people from every nation saved. But guess what? You guys are going to go in different directions. The disciples died at different moments and at different places and at different times. But they believed that Jesus was with them. And although they wanted to be together because the relationships were great and the love was there and the camaraderie and the teamness, there was a belief that we've got to go out, not for the sake of ourselves, but others. We're going to be more effective. You go east, I'm going west. You stay. They didn't form a church in Jerusalem and lead that church. They multiplied. They sacrificed the greatest joy of doing life together so that heaven could be more crowded. And that same bumping into the resurrection Savior is some of the same sense we have that we, both Plano and Fort Worth, and where we're at, love deeply the relationships and time we get with our friends and the people who taught us in the first place what it meant to be church and the people who gave us leadership and launched us into that. But to lay that down for the sake of the gospel is what we're talking about. So it increases maturity. It is the ultimate test of 2 Timothy 2:2. I am going to entrust to faithful men who have heard me in the presence of many witnesses, and they are going to go out, and now they are going to multiply it out. And it is time. This is a moment of a test to go, hey, have we been faithful? Have we been taking what has been entrusted to us? And have we been faithfully taking it forward? And is it time for us to do that with all of our time fully deployed, prayerfully, for the multiplication of this to go out? So it's going to help with our time. The other piece I would tell you, and the burden I feel as a leader of this campus, is if we're to the point where we think we could do this with Christ and in a new way, then how much time am I taking right now from Watermark and the leadership and the time they invest in our campus that then could be redeployed somewhere else? So I think about it both from the sense of I can and we can spend more time cultivating faithfulness here, and that's going to free up a lot of time for Watermark to shift its gear to the next Timothy and to the next campus, and there's a few going on, and to the next effort that we haven't started yet because we don't have enough time to get it there because we've been cultivating this campus. And in some ways, it is a releasing of time back to be redeployed and reinvested somewhere else. The last thing, and then I'm going to move into why specifically we got to the spot that we think it's our time to engage in the conversation. So again, we are starting a conversation with you. We're not saying tomorrow you're at a new church, okay? But the fifth and most important reason is it's not moving. This idea of leaving Watermark, doing something new, is not ultimately becoming independent. It is a chance for us to deepen our dependence on Christ. And it's just a fact. Removing the brand and removing the tetheredness of relationship and responsibility that Watermark has for us creates in us an opportunity to deepen our dependence on Christ and just go, okay, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Is that enough for us, or do we need something on top of that? And it's kind of that moment to put your money where your mouth is, in a sense. Going, we have Christ. We have all we need. Let me just give you four reasons. As we as leadership began to discuss when we think it's our time to step into this new season together. So here are just a few things that really started, 3 years ago from the jump, and then certainly heated up in the last several months, which is worth saying. All of this conversation is not tethered to what we announced last Sunday. And I'm going to get a chance in a moment to explain some more of the timeline that I think will illuminate that. But you just need to know, we wouldn't have picked the timing to try to announce this because it's just harder. But we think God is sovereign, and here we are. So the first thing is we believe the leadership's ready. Myself, Hunter Ramsey, and Jeff Hewitt that lead this campus, that if God would have us move into becoming our own new independent local church, us three men would slide into the position of senior pastor and elders. The team, this three, we think is ready, along with the elders and really a lot of the folks that we lead with most closely. Now, you may disagree, and I'm going to tell you about your opportunity to voice that, but we believe, you need to know, that we're ready. And the second thing is we think our staff team is ready. If you've bumped into the one of the other 9 full-time staff here, you've gotten to experience that God has brought us just amazing, talented, gifted individuals who he has called their heart, put them here. A lot of them left a lot of amazing things because they believe this is where God had called them specifically. And we think through years and just maturity and then how we're operating as a team is the best it's been. And it's moving even quicker in the right direction. So we think we're operating well as a staff team in maturity, and we trust one another and we're doing good. But more than that, we think you're ready. We think the membership of this campus, the saints that are here who are doing the heavy lifting of the ministry, are ready. Now, you may disagree with that and feel like I'm not ready, but when we watch the teams that lead here, that set up and tear down here, that jump in with different care ministries on Monday nights and Thursday nights, the way young adults left the most prolific young adult ministry in the nation to start their own because they believed that more time together with their Bible and people was better than streaming in and spending time staying connected to this ministry called The Porch. And so I would tell you, if you need a case in point, go see what's happening at the table. They really went first in a lot of ways. Changing a name, moving independent, growing their own leadership team, teaching locally, and left the best teaching in the country for young adults. And God has blessed it. It's been the ministry, what started during COVID, that God has just added to in spades. And I think they have really paved the way and set an example. But that, again, the core that started this place, how the majority of you are still here serving and leading, says a lot. That we've been going for almost 3 years through a pandemic, started with about 120 members and are over 400 today. And numbers don't matter, but that there's 400 individuals who are pursuing Jesus and all in here says something. And they did it because of you, the body who's been here. And then the last point before I move on is financially, we've been ready. And so we haven't talked a ton about us specifically as a campus. And if you're a guest here, one of the things we do is we just live authentically. We've got nothing to hide because Jesus in his kindness already knows everything, has already shown his love for us in this, that he died for us while we were sinners. We believe the gospel and a relationship with God frees us to be transparent with one another. And we share every year, every penny of finances and where they go here at Watermark. We've just never zoomed into that financial picture to say, and here's what's happening at our campus specifically. But this is one of the differentiating factors between just the way God moved Plano and the way God moved Fort Worth and the way God is moving us is we really started with the finances thing there. So the first year, Watermark financially launched Watermark Frisco. And we, after the first year, had enough giving that exceeded our budget for the year where we, in a sense, paid all of that back. So we weren't on loan and they never asked us to pay it back. But those resources financially that went into starting, we were able to give back so then those could be reallocated to a different part of the mission at a different campus and in different ministries. So we kind of clean slate after year one into year two and now into year three. Both of the years, our giving has exceeded our budget. And so we've always been in the green. We've always covered our own costs, in a sense. And there's even resources now that are earmarked as Frisco giving that's growing a saving, if you will. So you need to know I say it that way because as Watermark, we have one budget. There is no Frisco but or Frisco, you know, money and savings and Watermark Dallas savings because we're one church. But we've tracked all that to know, hey, this is where the money's coming from. And it's important to go, hey, if we were to go and God does affirm over this next season together that this is the time, then we know we'd be able to financially support what it is God has us doing. And then the hardest piece of this whole thing for us and our humanity is just going, do we want to be the place that launches in a high school? And is that essential to the mission? And we have preached for years that the church is a people, not a place. And we kind of looked at this like, are we going to believe that now? And do we really believe that no matter where we gather, we can be faithful, that God, nothing's going to prevail against the gospel. And if our hearts are fully his, that he is going to use us in radical ways. And in some ways, he's used this last season to be the church that has no home to just teach the broader church that you don't need a home and that people showing up in your living room doesn't equal success, a life change and radical devotion to Christ and being disciples, which is following every single one of Jesus' commands in our life because it breeds peace and comfort and joy and folks who can move through situations of trial, despair, and joy and have peace. And we just go, hey, we see that happening in spades without a permanent location. But we had some honest conversations and we decided a few months ago that factor should not limit us. And so let's move on. We looked at some other places outside of Watermark that were just encouragements. An example would be Austin Stone, who's has several campuses, but their main campus and first campus is still a mobile campus. And so the main campus still meets in a high school, but they've sent out and planted now churches and other campuses who have permanent locations. So God used the mobile campus to start the permanent ones. And we just go, okay, we didn't need an example, but that helps. And meanwhile, and here comes some of the marriage announcement and the excitement of this morning. Because as we moved forward anyways, God started some conversations and doing some things in the month of January to where as we felt like it was time, God really came on the back of that and affirmed it in a really fun way. And what I mean is it's looking like, and we're going to spend 30 days to make sure we haven't missed anything, that God's about to hand you this body 10 acres of land in Frisco for free. I don't know if you know how much it cost, but we just bought a South, in South Dallas, we are moving towards this watermark, creating a campus. We bought acres of land plus a facility for what we could buy a quarter of an acre of dirt for in Frisco. We as a church have been committed to not taking on debt. When we were a campus and when we started, we met in Plano and didn't know where we were going to meet in Frisco because we couldn't financially afford Frisco. We weren't going to take on debt. So we believed God had to provide a way and he opened up the high school. And then as we've been meeting in a high school and as I think we've been honoring him by saying, Christ, all we need is you. We love what we've been a part of. We love where our trainings come from. We love the church that is us, that is also starting us. In the midst of all that, he just comes alongside us and goes, okay, I'm going to encourage you with 10 acres in a city that is astronomical in terms of how much dirt costs and how, by and large, is being bought up and there's not a lot of places to go. And so if you're like me, the first question you have is, where is that? Which I'm going to show you in a moment. The second, it's in Frisco. The second question is, how much is it going to cost us to put a building there and how long will that take? And that would be likely millions of dollars and probably a year to 18 months of construction, but we don't need that because this 10 acres is coming with a facility already on it. And so a facility already sitting on 10 acres that God wants to give you to steward for the kingdom. 10 acres in Frisco, with the facility, which is 10 acres more than we have today, and certainly more square footage of a building than we own, and millions of dollars worth of assets to steward for the kingdom. I'm telling you, I've heard a lot of amazing stories in the last week, and none of them compare with what God, in his kindness and grace, is allowing us to be on the verge of doing. And it is hard. This is like trying to explain to somebody, if we were all Israel and we just, which church and Israel are separate, but if we were and we just went through the Red Sea and we got to the other side and people looked at you like, who are these people? Where did you come from? And you were trying to explain, well, here's what happened in Egypt and there was these 10 plagues and then God set us free. We had been in slavery for 400 years and we were getting chased out. We were about to all die. We were at this Red Sea. God split the sea. We walked through on dry land, got to the other side, and then God swallowed those up with the waves that were pursuing us and he's freed us and he's redeemed us. And that's how we ended up right in the middle of your land because we cut straight through the Red Sea. If you can imagine trying to express that to somebody in a way where they could comprehend it and go, who is this God? That's what I feel like I'm trying to explain to this room, that God has just parted a Red Sea, not for the first time for Watermark Frisco, for the second time in the way he is just allowing you. He wants you here clearly. Or at least we think it's clear. And we're going to spend a moment in 30 days to affirm that. I'm going to talk more about it in a second, but you need to just be in awe of what God is letting us be in the middle of. I don't think it's because we're more faithful than other churches, okay? I do believe we are faithful. And I think some people he gives one talent to, five, and others 10. And here's what I know about those he gives more talents to is this. whom much is given, much is required. You don't get judged based on what you have. And you don't have a greater opportunity. We are not going to have a greater opportunity to receive more reward in heaven because God allowed us to steward more on earth. It's what you do with what God has given you that determines your rewards. So when the variance on earth of what you steward is different, the opportunity in heaven for rewards is the same. And so in the midst of a celebration, there is a weight going, okay, we have got to make war. And we have got to use every square inch God ever allows us to have to make sure Matthew 28 and 18 through 20 is as radically true as when we were meeting somewhere else. So there's a responsibility ahead for us. Let me say just a few more things. First, let me show you where this place is and how this came about. If you'll look on this map, that's going to flash up here, you'll see a little red dot. That is Coit and 121 right there. So the bottom right corner is what we're talking about. And where that one on the left is where we are today. It's under 4 miles from here, just a little bit south and a little bit east of where you are today. And the way this came about, and this to me is the best part, that not only 10 acres are we on the verge of, not only a facility, but I would tell you 50 to 60 people who are spirit-filled, who love Jesus, who are on mission, who have been praying desperately, who have been waiting for God to do something, are on the verge of joining in with what we're doing. So that current land and that building belong to Centennial Church. Some of you know Centennial, others of you don't. But Centennial Church has been here for about 25 years and through a bunch of different circumstances in a spot where they want to see God do something amazing. And there is a core of about 50 people who are hanging on. And through the story I'm about to share to you, God just allowed us, Watermark Frisco, and Centennial Church to begin conversations that started in January and have escalated to now to say, we believe doing this whole independent local church thing is going to be better by joining forces and then radically pursuing Jesus together. And so that's, there's two big pieces of information. Hey, we think it's time to go independent local church as a campus, and we think we're gonna fold some others into this. And God's going to meet the needs of Centennial, which are leadership, which are vision, which are ministries where they can use their gifts. And he's going to take our needs of not having a permanent facility, and he's marrying those two things up in a way that is not causing, I would say, us to compromise a thing we're doing, nor is it compromising them from doing anything they want to do. And God is just taking the needs of two different bodies of Christ and joining them together, I would say, for the sake of the gospel. Briefly how this happened, and I'll have moments where I can share more of the story. But about 2 years ago, I was meeting with the pastors in town, and my friend Ross, who was at Centennial Church, had just come back from taking a sabbatical for the summer. And he just confessed to this table of pastors who, in a sense, he was a small fish around some big fish. He was around guys whose numerically and what God was allowing them to steward was significantly more than numerically what God was allowing him to steward. And that's a hard situation to run into, guys who are in a different, what you feel like is a world than you. And to kind of humbly come in and say, guys, I took a sabbatical because I'm not doing well. And I don't know how much longer I can keep going. So that was about a year and a half ago when my friend said that. And I just did what any of you would do in that moment. I was through Christ's spirit and enablement, the good Samaritan. I just heard a friend who was hurting and just grabbed him after and started building a relationship with him and just started ministering to him and encouraging him and telling him why he had the hope of the world and trying to be a source of just flourishing for Centennial. And fast forward to about 6 months ago, he ends up resigning and trying to hand off the church, and it didn't go well. And now it's just a group of lay leaders leading a church, waiting, pleading, and praying that God would do something. And in January, I got a text from a buddy, Ross, who used to be the pastor at Centennial. who introduced me to another guy at their church and said, hey, I think you two need to get together. And that began a conversation. Lo and behold, that guy's responsibility for the church was to lead their transition team. He was on a team of about 7 or 8 couples with that now in the last 4 months I've spent a lot of time with, just trying to figure out how God would have them steward that piece of property and that facility. And to be honest, both of us came to the conversation not thinking the other was the answer. I was there to encourage. Here's what you need to know. And how we've thought about this as campus shepherds, because we've been in this conversation since January. There was nothing earthly pressuring us to move forward. There was nothing earthly pressuring us to move forward. We went to the table to be encouragement and to just try to, I thought my job, what God wanted me to do was help them find a pastor from our institute or something to help supplement their needs. And there's not a financial reason we need a facility. There is not a reason we need a facility in general to be the church. We thought our leadership was in a good spot. We didn't feel like we needed to supplement what was around. We weren't hurting. We weren't looking for an exit to this. I mean, God had miraculously, as you know, opened up this high school indefinitely in a sense, so long as we keep stewarding this opportunity well. So we weren't looking to solve what I would call inconveniences, being mobile, setting up, tearing down, not being able to do worship at our midweek space, hitting our heads up against, you know, our location and different things. Those inconveniences, we were not going to dissolve by compromising on our values and our essentials and what we were doing. And there was, in our minds, no way not compromising these things would allow us the opportunity to join forces with another church. But that is what God did. So there was no earthly pressure, but there is certainly always a heavenly one. How can we be more effective at making and being fully devoted followers of Christ? And meanwhile, a lot of you were praying that God would give us land and give us a facility. So it's your fault because you've been praying and God, I think, is answering your prayers. And let me say a few more things. There's a lot more conversations coming, but let me wrap up with just a few things. Again, it's a big moment. There's a lot here. We have time. We've not made final decisions. This month of May, what we want to do is continue to tell you what God has done, what is happening, why we are convinced this is what we should do, and then listen, and then answer the questions you have, and then pray together, and then just go, okay, Lord, either show us what we've missed, or prayerfully show to others what we think you have shown us. So 5 things, I'm going to move quickly, that God has used us to convince us this is where he was leading us, to join with Centennial, to no longer be Watermark Community Church, to no longer be Centennial Church, to bring the body of Christ together to do something new, a new local independent church, a local expression of Christ together, leaving behind Watermark, leaving behind Centennial in terms of name, carrying forth in terms of faithfulness and legacy, and coming together. The first thing was we kept telling them, hey, our, you know, it's a big deal to us that we make disciples. They go, us too. And we go, hey, it's a big deal to us that this helps us reach the city. And when I got that text from my buddy that connected me with Centennial, it was about 2 or 3 weeks later where we ended up at their property. And one thing you need to know, ever since we've joined the district at Frisco High School, we have been asking, is there ways for us to serve the district more? Look, we're here because we believe in Jesus, and Jesus did a lot to serve, not to be served. So thank you for letting us meet in your auditorium, but we want to do more than just pay you for that. We want to bless you. We want to meet real needs. How can we help the district at large, not even just the high school? So we were knocking on the door of the district for 2 years. And then out of the blue, we get this email early January that, hey, do you guys want to partner with us and partner with us in that taking a school to just be a source of supplying needs for teachers and students? And we were like, have they not heard us for 2 years? Ask if there's a way for us to serve, but like, okay, yes, nothing would make us more happy than to partner and serve with a school. And so great, we're gonna look at our elementary schools and then we're gonna choose one for you to partner with to just be a source of encouragement and blessing and resources for teachers, students, and families. Great. They come back and they look at their 42 elementary schools and they give us Smith Elementary. You guys have been a part of donating gift cards and writing notes and partnering with teachers. And meanwhile, we're doing all that. We're down at Smith Elementary encouraging folks. And then 2 weeks later, I end up going to Centennial and I'm driving to Centennial. And I'm like, why was I just down here in this part of Frisco? Now I've got one or two friends down here, but I was driving down this road and I couldn't remember on the way to Centennial Church why I had just been there. And then it clicked. It's because God had just put me not at Centennial's parking lot, but Smith Elementary's parking lot, which happens to be like a half mile down the road from Centennial. I mean, look at this picture. This is the kind of thing that God started to use to go, okay, maybe we are, this is where God would have us. So that dot on the bottom right is Centennial. That's Coit, and then you've got Hillcrest, and you see the little dot right there. That's Smith Elementary. Let me tell you where all the teachers and families and folks we are trying to minister to that God 2 weeks earlier just finally, after 2 years of begging, opened the door to minister to. It's right there all around Centennial Church. They live in those neighborhoods where we are trying to reach, and then God says, hey, this church I may want you to join with to do something new happens to be right in the middle of those neighborhoods. Within 2 weeks of one another. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that just gives you goosebumps. And I don't believe God's gonna write this in the sky for us, but I do believe if we get on the other side of this thing and the answer is yes, move forward, I think he's gonna go, I was trying to make it obvious. Look what I did. So that was one thing. Another thing was, we keep saying this, but us in Centennial Church, and I know you're gonna go be reading their website in the next 30 minutes, and you're gonna see we have the same doctrine and the same beliefs. 1 John 1:3 says this, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All you need to raise up Jesus together is Jesus. And there are some secondary things that change the way you follow Jesus together. And every central thing, I mean, the gospel, I mean, the end of the day, what it takes to be in the universal church, we line up on. And then what it looks like as the local church to follow Jesus, we line up on. The line I have said 100 times, you're gonna hear me say it again, and that is just true, is this. We have been reading the same Bible and following the same Jesus. We came to the table saying, we believe God has us doing everything he wants us to do. And we are either prideful and think we know it all, or we are just convinced this is what God's word teaches and we've radically lived according to it. And if we have to compromise any of that, then we don't need a building. You could hand us any building in the city, and if we had to stop doing any one of our ministries, it's not worth it. Because we're seeing life change and God do amazing things through everything we're doing. And so we just said, if we have to compromise to make this work, it's God making it clear we should not do this. And you're gonna have an opportunity to go read a lot more information I'll send you away with, and you're gonna see there's not a ministry we're gonna stop if God allows us to do this. There's not a staff member we're gonna change. For this, they got to hang in here and stay faithful. But we're keeping all of our staff. We're the three men I mentioned earlier, myself and the two guys who lead this campus, would step into the role of elder. And they've got two elders right now who are faithful men. One's been a pastor for 16 years before he took this. Both of them have served unbelievable hours holding together the church of God. And both of which are excited to serve underneath us three men in a way that is only by God's favor and are excited about it. He's given us the privilege to not compromise anything, and he's giving them the privilege to go down the road of what they want to do. Some people, as I've shared this, hey, we're gonna keep our staff, keep our ministries, and we're just gonna change where we're locating, be a new name, add in 50 faithful people, and keep running after the cross. they kind of go, man, that sounds like a takeover. And I go, it's not. It could be, but it's not. Because the difference is, it's not a takeover. It is a taking in of people who believe the same things, want the same things, pursuing the same things. We just so happen to bring to the table, in a sense, the leadership and the ministries. They're bringing a facility. We all have faithful followers of Jesus. And we think when you add 1 + 1 in that scenario, it doesn't equal 2, it equals 3. It's not addition, it's multiplication. That doesn't even make logical sense. And so that's part of why we believe this is what we should do. The fourth thing is we've just spent time together. I mean, a lot of time since January, because you can't fast forward or change relationships. And I tell you this, Psalm 133:1 is true. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. We haven't just read each other's websites. We've spent time sharing meals together, coffees together, prayer times together. We've gotten their whole entire transition team with our entire staff team and spent time together. To kind of test, is this really who you want to be, or is this just what the website reads? And this is who these people are. I think we have things to learn in terms of their perseverance and trusting in God and not wavering in joy in the midst of a hard situation. And so it's been great. Last thing, and I will just tell you, what puts the most fire in me is this is an opportunity for the church to be coming together. I mean, I don't have to tell you how the world perceives the church and the inner workings and the division and the gossip and the slandering one another on social media, and it's me versus you. And in a moment in time where we are not forced to come together because of persecution, we have an opportunity to run together for the sake of the gospel. John 17:17-23 reads this, and I'm gonna give you three things that you can do, and we're gonna move on. It says this, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only. He's about to pray for you, Watermark Frisco. This is Jesus. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. The generations to come who are gonna love me even though they haven't seen me. Verse 21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may even be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love me, even as you have loved me. The most evangelistic thing you can do is be unified. This is for the sake of the gospel. Jesus is saying they're gonna know you because you're my disciples, because you love one another, and love looks like being unified and being perfectly one despite your differences and backgrounds and economic statuses and where you go to work and what car you drive and what part of Frisco you were in. When you become one for the sake of the gospel and the love of me and one another, and you lay it aside, people say there's something different. It's not about egos. It's not about brands. It's not about who's bringing what. It's about God changing Frisco through his people in the power of the Spirit and the message of the gospel. And we, as your leadership, have come to believe this is the right time, the right moment, and the best way for us to do that. And so here's three things you need to do as you move out of here. One, you need to pray with thankfulness. I don't know what God's gonna do, but I know I should be thankful already. And if this is just a test to see if we're willing to walk away because we're not gonna compromise, then so be it. But we are thankful. Not that God would use us, that our name is already written in the book of life. So walk out of here thankful. I know some of us are still in the middle of what happened last week, and for different reasons, it's hitting different people in different ways. But be grateful for the leadership God has given this place for years. Be grateful you're not hearing about moral failures. Be grateful that men are sticking around and still using their gifts and serving. Be grateful. The second thing is test our thoughts and your thoughts against God's word. I mean, your job is to save us from making a horrible decision and just go, hey, I'm hearing what you're saying and I'm seeing what I'm seeing and I'm going to God's word, and when I read God's word, I see this, and I'm not sure these two things blend. We've waited to bring this to you because we wanted to be able to tell you we've done that to the best of our ability, and we think it fits and it matches and it multiplies our efforts. But we're taking the month of May to spend time as a family talking through this, praying through this, and asking that the Lord would use you to show us something we may have missed. And then the last thing is love the giver, not the gifts. Love the giver, not the gifts. James 1, 16 through 18 just says, hey, God is the one who gives us every good and perfect gift. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to test against God's word. And then we are just reminded in the midst of it, we don't want to miss the God that this is all about and who is with us either way. And just, I pray your love for Jesus and what he's doing is increasing, okay? And then lastly, here's what this next month is going to look like. You're going to go to watermark.org/Frisco update, where we have put in some time answering the questions that we think help us determine, should we do this? And we are going to spend time, I'm going to tell you more about it in a second, determining if we should. We aren't yet answering how we should do it. Okay, there's gonna be a lot of questions you have on how and the timing and when, and here's the answer. We don't know, because this next month is not for show. We are genuinely pausing before we get into logistics and timing and all of that to seek the Lord's affirmation. We don't want to get ahead of the Lord. We want him to make it clear, radically clear, that this is what he wants us to do, because if this is what he wants us to do, we're gonna figure out how. And so as you have questions, ask yourself, does the answer to this question determine if, in fact, we should take this next step of leaving Watermark, leaving Centennial, joining together to become a new, independent, local church? If the answer to that question is yes, how you answer this determines for me if it's correct, that's a great question. If it is secondary, we'll maybe speculate about how we think we're going to answer that, but we're not ready to answer, okay? So the next two things you need to know about as you go to the website is this. Wednesday night at our campus, we're going to have a Q&A time, because that's going to give you time to go read all of that information, process with the community, and then bring the questions we haven't answered yet. I know I've probably created more questions than answers today. Hopefully that document will help you. Come Wednesday night if you've still got questions. We're going to take next Sunday to keep having this conversation. And then the rest of the month of May, we're gonna have some other Q&As, some other prayer nights. There's gonna be some times where we go down to Centennial and pray with them. There's gonna be a moment on the 23rd where Centennial comes over here and joins us for two services. So we're gonna get some time together. And then right now, you could be praying, because Centennial, this news is hitting their ears probably as we speak during their service. So they are hearing about this today just like you are. And then we are excited to do this together. So thank you for hanging in there a little longer. It's a lot of information. I pray what you leave with is this is an exciting moment. God has us on the verge of one of the most amazing stories I know how to tell. And so let me pray for you guys and dismiss you, because we're past 10:30. And then we're gonna hang around. We can answer some questions now. And we're gonna be here for a lot. We're gonna be available for an entire month. This is the beginning of a 30-day confirmation. Let's seek the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you that you would even allow us to be entertaining the conversation, that you have kept us from disqualifying ourselves, that you have kept us from compromising the mission, that you have just kept us from being who we are apart from you. So, Lord, I pray that we are grateful and that we would stay connected to the vine. There is no way for us to produce spiritual fruit with a facility and with acres and with numbers of people. There is nothing we can do to change people's souls in eternity. It is a work of you. And so, Lord, we remind ourselves of that in this moment, but we ask, would you give us wisdom that comes from your mouth alone on what you would have us do in this moment of history in Frisco? Would you show us the best way to not only share the gospel to 200,000 people all around us, but the hundreds of thousands beyond Frisco and the generations that haven't even been born yet that will be impacted by what we do with this current generation. And so just go before us. Help us to judge our own thoughts according to your word. Show us what is preference and what is essential. Reveal, Lord, if we've missed it. We, as exciting as this potentially is, we don't want to go there if it's not where you want us to go. We want to wait on you. We want to trust in you no matter what is going on. And so we love you. It's your name we pray. Amen. Hey, look, as you guys get out of here, I want to just tell you, if you're a guest here, in the last few weeks, we've been having a lot of family conversations. But I pray what you're encouraged by is the fact that we have conversations at large. This is a family of God. And we trust one another. We are glad that you got to see us interact in a way that hopefully was encouraging to you. But you need to know the only reason we are comfortable with one another is because we have become comfortable with a holy God who loves us despite our messes. And there's nothing we have to hide from one another. And so we would love the opportunity to share more with you why Christ is that kind of king, why that God is worth pursuing and laying your life down for, and what he's done in our life. And so if we can serve you by that, there'll be friends up here who would love to have that conversation. For the rest of you, have a great week of worship. I look forward to answering most of your questions soon. See ya. Ooh.